Today's gospel is rather jarring. There's a lot of details about it that are rather uncomfortable or make us kind of squirm as we realize the details of what's going on. Nothing is more unsettling than the idea of stoning this woman. If you're unfamiliar with what a stoning is, basically when someone does something that's a capital offense, you would lead them out of the town. You can't touch them, because touching them means you'd be defiled and you have other issues to deal with. So you have to kind of lead them out, and then the whole crowd picks up stones and throws them at the person until the person dies. It's pretty brutal. And the idea behind it is the person has created such an offense that the only way to kill them is from a distance. So stones are pretty convenient, and it makes it quick and easy. So that's what a stoning is. So that's the first uncomfortable thing about today's passage, that they're willing to hurl stones at this woman until she dies. The second one that's kind of strange is we're missing some details. First of all, where's the man? We know it takes two to tango, so she's not the only one that committed adultery. There has to be at least one other. Where is he? According to the law of Moses, you have to condemn both of them, not just one. So the Pharisees and scribes are doing their own thing right now. They're choosing women over men as far as who to punish. So right now, we already realize there's something going on. This isn't truly just. There's something else going on here. The second side that's really uncomfortable about the same issue is in order to condemn someone to death, you need two or three witnesses. There's no indication of witnesses. They said she was caught, but nobody steps forward to saying, I witnessed it, I saw it. So the question is, did it actually happen? Was this just some ruse that they made Jesus fall into? Or is there something else that's going on that we don't have the details for? Regardless, there feels like there's more going on than what meets the eye, and that's the big challenge. Because the example of the Pharisees and scribes tells us something about ourselves. It's easy to condemn. It's easy to get caught up in the things of that we want and need and forget justice, forget reality. And that's where I want to go. So I'm going to give you some ideas or some stories to help you understand what I mean. The first one comes from the book The Lord of the Rings. In the book The Lord of the Rings, we find this most unfortunate character named Gollum or Sméagol. Gollum has been hiding out in the dark cave for most of his life because he found a ring. And the ring entranced him so much, he killed the person who owned it so he could have it all for himself. And spent most of his life held up in this dark cave with his precious ring. And that's all he needed. Well, eventually, it gets stolen from him. And so he ventures out of his cave into the world, transfixed by this ring that he must travel wherever it goes to get it back. Even to the extent of killing people, going miles and miles and miles across the land, or slyly doing covert things to try and get his precious ring back. Gollum tells us what it's like to be so transfixed on an idea or a concept or a way that we forget all the other things around us and focus exclusively on that one thing we want. My second example comes from the Shakespearean play Othello. Othello is the tragic hero of the play, the man who has done everything right and should have everything go well for him. There's one exception. Iago, his friend, has become jealous of his new wife Desdemona and has decided that to break them up, his best tactic is to defame her and to make Othello see how bad of a woman she really is, how unfaithful, how rude, how problematic she is for his life. And so Iago makes his whole ruse to convince Othello that she is not what she seems. Othello, convinced of this over time because he trusts Iago, ends up killing his beloved Desdemona without realizing she had done none of that. And hence we have the wonderful phrase, "Envy the green-eyed monster which thou dost seek." My third example comes from the TV show Merlin. We know some of the characters already, King Arthur and Merlin. King Arthur had just ascended to the throne, and his sister, Morgana, does not like it. She wants in every way to keep him from the throne. So she starts this ruse where she starts to defame his character, tell lies and stories around all of his advisors and the people know him throughout the realm to make it clear he is not a worthy king and he should not take the throne. Using dark magic and various other spells, she concocts ruse after ruse and traps to try and keep him away from the throne, to kill him off, and to finally take the throne for herself. As the story progresses, people start to realize that doesn't match reality. her stories aren't working quite so well. And so as soon as they start to come to reality, she has to retwist the entire story and reform everything around it so she looks good and correct while still keeping her guise and her ruse. All these stories remind us of something very powerful in our lives. We can easily get so caught up with our own thoughts of the world that we forget reality. We get so transfixed with anger that one little thing, it doesn't have to be big, can be as much as someone cutting us off or driving slowly. It could be someone who did something we didn't like. And that leads to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so after a while, we have this whole network of things that frustrate us, leading us to anger and lack of peace or envy. That person has the thing that I want because I don't get it. I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And the hunger and sage keeps going to the point where we can never be satisfied. We're always upset. And it always started with that one little thing. Or maybe it's jealousy. I don't want that person to have that. I want it. And I want that. I want that. And it keeps building this whole network. The same thing with all my stories. The same thing the elders experience in our gospel for today. They were so transfixed on finding a way to get Jesus in a ruse that they were willing to do something unjust, trap him by this woman. But as soon as Jesus starts to write, and I've always been fascinated, what was he writing? He did it twice. He kept writing on the ground. Was it their sins? Was it the commandments? What was it that he wrote? It was enough that after a short pause, the elders were the first to walk away. Think about that. The elders are the ones who know the law. They're the just people of the society. They're the rulers. They're the first ones to walk away, followed by everyone else. They gave up their pursuit and realized they could not proceed. Why? Because they were left in an unfortunate state. They realized their own problems. They realized the sins they had committed. They realized the ruse they had made, and it was laid plain before them. The same thing works for us. They teach us something valuable about when we get wrapped up in these web of confusion and lies. We have to pare things away, like St. Paul tells us. Strip it back to its original experience. What was the first thing that tipped me off? Was it worth it? Was it right? Because if we're willing to strip away all those thoughts and stuff, we find ourselves at the same place that woman is, with Jesus alone. We're there with him, and he is choosing whether to condemn us or not. And he always chooses not to, which then leaves us in peace and freedom, just like the woman. So that means if we're willing to wrestle with our own emotions, wrestle with these things that are leading us into the darkness, and slowly strip them away piece by piece, recognizing each individual thing that leads us to anger, jealousy, sloth, avarice, whatever it might be, we can get back to its core, where we encounter Jesus as he is. And he says to us, "You are forgiven, go in peace. Here I am. Nothing else matters. Do not worry about these things. I have it under control. Be at peace. I will be with you." Because that's what we want. We don't want to be wrapped up in the darkness that spirals around us. We want to be calm and peaceful and let the world just be the way it is, so that we are with Jesus and with Jesus alone and can live in peace forever.